On the line, I'm absolutely delighted to tell you that we have Gushwell Brooks, Communications Coordinator at the South African Human Rights Commission. Gushwell, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Just one more thing I wanted to add before we even get into the discussion is thank you. Thank you so much for being always so willing to talk to us and discuss these issues here on Chai. It really, really is appreciated. But that's an aside. Gushwell, I want to get to the crux of the matter. I want to talk to you today about gender-based violence and femicide. It's been a difficult couple of weeks here in South Africa from that perspective. We're not doing very well in this regard, are we? In fact, it's a bit of an embarrassment.
Yeah, I think, it being an embarrassment is really shocking, and it's an understatement at the very least, because I think what the key concern is that gender-based violence is a consistent companion for us in this country. I think that what happens every now and again is that a high-profile matter reaches mainstream media, and then our focus is we refocus our attention on that particular issue. But unfortunately, it's a persistent, ongoing issue, and women in this country in particular are unsafe. And I don't blame women and organizations, and even the president going to the extent of saying that we as men seem to be having a war on women. If you look at some of the horrible cases that we've seen in the last couple of days and weeks.
This is a human rights issue, isn't it?
Oh, no, for sure. At the center of this, at the very stake of this discussion, we need to accept the fact that obviously equality of women, is first and foremost on the pedestal. Yeah. Second to that is obviously freedom, and security of the person. These are human beings, and they have certain rights to be safe within their communities at all times. And that is clearly being scuppered by the actions that we're seeing at this point in time.
So, Gushwell, how do we explain it? How on earth? I mean, understand the brutalization of the society. Understand the fact that family units aren't as strong as they should be. But how do we even go about identifying the causes and then trying to address them?
Well, to be honest, I think that it comes down to socialization. I think it's a social issue. It's something that we can't just remove through the law or, try to constantly explain away. Of course, we do live in a country that's extremely traumatized. As you said, there's broken families, there's horrific social circumstances, people living under abject poverty, people feeling disempowered, their dignity being stripped away on a day-to-day basis. But none of those things, with all due respect, give rise to an excuse for the type of behavior that we're seeing being directed towards women and girls in this country. We should, I think, as a country, be honest enough and just face facts and just merely face the fact that, unfortunately, what we've seen is the way men have been socialized from an early age, the way that society views women within South African society, broadly speaking, across the board, needs to be dealt with very quickly.
So interesting you say that, because I don't know. I would have thought that the position of women, very naively, I would have thought that the position of women in South Africa would actually have been so much more advanced than so many other similar type of countries. When you think back to the women who brought up children on their own, who built houses, who sustained the children, who fed them, these were strong examples of powerful women in people's lives. I don't know where it changed to become this idea of we have property rights and we own them and we can do what we want with them. I just don't know where that disconnect happens.
Well, I think we need to also accept the fact that just because you have a set of laws in place, I mean, if you think about racism or if you think about anti-Semitism or if you think about any of the other scourges that we deal with on a global perspective, not just in this country, you may have a set of laws that tell people, I mean, something as simple as traffic laws that tell you that you can't exceed a speed limit of 120 kilometers per hour on a national highway. Unfortunately, you'll still see people taking a chance and going ahead and doing it anyway, unless it's ingrained within a society that this is, in fact, not just what the government or someone else expects from you in terms of how you conduct yourself, but it actually becomes part of your DNA. It literally gets tattooed on your heart and mind. People are not going to necessarily take women's rights seriously. They're not necessarily going to take any of these other rights seriously and then conduct themselves in such a way that they're respectful of those rights and appreciative of those rights. And for me, sadly enough, that is what we're faced with as a society, is that the rights may be there, but have we actually internalized those rights? Do we actually live it? Do we appreciate it? And do we protect those rights of other people, especially those who may not be in a position to always protect it by themselves?
Kashwal, is there an example anywhere in the world of a society that has managed to overcome this issue?
I think that there is no society that exists without any form of gender-based violence. But I think what we need to admit and understand is that our levels of gender-based violence are amongst the worst in the world, amongst the highest in the world. And what makes it even worse is that we are a country where, as you had said, we extend civil liberties and equality to women in particular. So in other words, women aren't seen in a special category, that there are certain laws that they're not supposed to, for example, drive or be unaccompanied in public. In South Africa, we have none of those limitations on the rights of women. However, the amount of violence that's being exacted against them is extremely high in comparison to many other parts of the world. And I mean, it almost becomes cliched and probably unfair, but if you had to compare, you know, crime statistics in Northern Europe, especially being directed towards women, you would find that you definitely don't have that issue or such a high prevalence in those parts of the world. Of course, also throughout the developing world, we also see very low rates of people actually reporting any form of sexual violence or violence against women anyway, because it's normalized within those societies. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to live in a society whereby women get raped, get beaten, and horrible things happen to them, and they just don't bother to report it anyway because they know they're not going to receive justice? And the sad fact of the matter is that that is unfortunately the situation that we're faced with, because many civil society organizations will tell you that the vast majority of such abuses and attacks go unreported. And there's a high probability that some of these high-profile murders and femicide cases that we've been seeing in the media lately may have also gone unnoticed if it weren't for the fact that they were so public and that someone blew the lid on it.
So I understand everything you've said, and I concur with absolutely everything you've said. What's missing for me is the instructions or the step-by-step manual as to how we are going to fix this.
Look, ultimately, the step-by-step manual consists of civil society, religious organizations, beyond Chapter 9 institutions, beyond government, beyond business, all of us within society playing a role in this. And I think we need to start having honest conversations, because what also concerns me personally, and I think would concern the Commission as well deeply, is the fact that we should also be honest as a society, in that even though we preach equality, you know, out the corner of one end of our mouth, to a large extent, many of us then also reverse on that. And many of us, for example, have principles or ideas that in my house, the white better listen to what I have to say. Or, you know, if someone is of the female gender or is a woman or a girl, that they better conduct themselves in a particular way. And unfortunately, that does send mixed signals, not only mixed signals. It's not just hypocritical, but, you know, you're not actually then protecting someone as an equal, and you're not actually providing the person with a plan. Platform as an equal to be able to achieve the goals that they would like to. I mean, what are we doing in terms of educating young women so that they, for example, do not become fiscally or you know, monetarily dependent on men? What are we doing in terms of rearing our young women and girls to understand that they should seek careers for themselves, education for themselves, thereby being more independent and less likely to find themselves you know, being dependent and ultimately being vulnerable to men who may be abusive.
Kashwal Brooks, Communications Coordinator at the South African Human Rights Commission. As always, thank you so very much for your input here on Chai FM.
It's only a pleasure. Under sad circumstances, but only a pleasure. All the best to you and your listeners.